What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Doing business like a CEO while saving like a CFO.
Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss at prices that'll make your bookkeeper smile.
Now that is an achievement.
Everything from pens to brand spanking new calendars. And right now, 2019 desk pad calendars are just $4.99.
So get your business ready for a big year at Staples, where there's a whole lot in store.
Valid on SKU 279-6207. Ends 1/12/19.
It's that 9 to 5 time to feel alive. This is Man from Ringside.
Tonight on the Man from Ringside podcast, we have your Evolution recap, your PWI Women's Top 10, maybe 100, the chaos that surrounds the Crown Jewel event for WWE. That and a whole bunch more tonight on the Man from Ringside podcast.
Was everywhere.
Ditch that 9 to 5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Marks, and welcome to the Band from Ringside podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bill Vagy, a.k.a. the Great White Smark. And to my right, as always, we have Two Beer, Zach Pullman. What's going on, Two Beer?
I am a real Arabian.
And to his right, as always, we have Jason Cornelius Bell. What's going on, Jason Beer?
Allow us to open up the latest volume of Band from Ringside, volume 79, of chapter 3, verse 14, and the good smart saith, hashtag boo the heels, it's all good, baby. Two quick shout-outs. Shout-out to my girl, Becky Balboa, and a shout-out to my boy, Derek. Give mom a big hug for me. Make sure she gets out okay in one piece, please, and thank you.
And to his right, week by week, slowly but surely becoming more and more entrenched in the BFR family. We have the Merman, Murray Man, Chris the Murray Man, Murray Man Murray. What's going on?
I'm doing great. And I'm, again, just like last week, I'm extremely excited for Sunday.
What's going on Sunday? This Sunday.
Peter!
Four Hands, Strange Donuts. They have the Beers, Food, and Body Slams event. We will be there with our booth.
Yes,
we will be getting
from Ringside. Will be there with our booth.
Dynamo Pro Wrestling is there for the wrestling entertainment.
Yes,
and various other fun activities. So make sure you get down there. I think it starts at 1
noon.
Noon.
Yeah.
So yeah. So we'll be down
noon
there at
4.
You can catch all four of us are going to be there. We plan on being there. It's going to be a little cool. Wear your sweatshirts, but that doesn't mean that the wrestling won't be hot, hot, hot. we will have JJ Twiggs Pizza on Southampton gift cards to give out. Come out and say, hey, Bill, I heard the podcast the other day. Can I get one of those JJ Twiggs?
No, we got to do something better than
cards.
That, man. I was about to say, it's got to be something that's related to this podcast. You have to have...
I think if they come up to me and say, hey, Bill, I heard the segment on the show the other day.
Tell them that JCB was talking smack.
Okay.
There you go.
Say both those things,
yeah.
And I will give you a gift card
happens.
To JJ Twiggs
you
on
Southampton.
You just got
to show Bill your dick.
Whoa!
And it's,
it's a public place, man.
They have great pizza, man. They're down there in Southampton. It's a fun place to watch a game. It's a fun place to take your family. It's a fun place to eat a pizza, have a beer, whatever. That's JJ Twiggs on Southampton. I have tons of $10 gift certificate or gift cards to give out, so hit me up on that. So we'll see you down there at Four Hands on Sunday. Also, talking about that day one-ish sponsorship, we got Soul Taco. Soul Taco, guys, that's that Korean-Mexican fusion food that you never knew that you needed in your life. But that is, they got delicious tacos, burritos, quesadillas, pot stickers. They got those kimchi fries, and that is the Soul Taco. They have places in the U-City Loop, two food trucks driving around town, Columbia, Missouri, Champaign, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, Chesterfield, Missouri. If you've never been there, we promise that you'll like it. If you don't like it, hit up JCB and he will Venmo you the money that you spent there back. That is the JCB guarantee on Soul Taco. We got Sam the Mauler Mall turning the knobs tonight. We're
Missing
coming at you from rainy St. Louis, Missouri.
Shitty, rainy.
Oh, man, hope everybody had a good Halloween. Let's
Two
not get bogged.
Let's
not get bogged down
I'm
with this stuff,
crying.
Guys. We got tons of stuff to talk about tonight. So without further ado, let's get to our three count. JCB.
Boss said we got to talk wrestling. Let's go back to Sunday night. Uniondale, Long Island.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, right. I know this is not a popular stance, but this was a WWE all women's pay-per-view on Sunday night called Evolution. Main event, obviously, Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella, but in the undercard, you did have Io Shirai and Shayna Baszler. You had Charlotte and Becky in Last Women Standing. You had the
Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler.
No.
Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler.
Yeah. Io Shirai was wrestling Toni Storm. My bad.
Getting his Asians mixed up.
Yeah, right. Just like we get the brothers mixed up.
Please, Gary Payton, continue.
Thank you. To me, the highlight of the night, obviously, was the Charlotte Becky Last Woman Standing match. I had fairly high expectations coming in, minus this Charlotte botched moonsault off the top. I thought this was done very well. It told the story the right way. Most importantly, the right person won the match. I think I was really thinking that they would probably go back to Charlotte, but so far so good. They're riding the Becky train. Let's see where it goes. Obviously, Ronda Rousey retained. Not a huge surprise there, which now sets up Survivor Series, which is probably going to be arguably the biggest match since Asuka Charlotte last year's WrestleMania. I think that's going to be the biggest match of the women's division this year so far. Toni Storm wins the Mae Young Classic in a kind of a shortened match, 10 minutes, 11 minutes. I think that has a lot to do with Vince being backstage. And then, obviously, Shayna Baszler regains the NXT Women's Championship from Kairi Sane. Good match. I thought it was. It sets up the evolution of the NXT Four Horsewomen. Not necessarily the way I would have went about it, but all in all, I thought the pay-per-view was good, not great. I know a lot of people were saying it was great. It wasn't great. If we're going to hold it to a standard, let's hold it to the same standard we hold to the guys. It was good. It was not great.
Two beer.
I'll disagree there. I thought it was the best main roster pay-per-view of the year. That includes WrestleMania.
Royal Rumble?
Yep.
It was better than Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the WWE fiscal year, or are we talking about the calendar year?
WWE calendar year.
Okay, well then Royal Rumble would be included, and go ahead, please. I mean, I'm not
disagreeing. Convince me I'm wrong.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Just running down the list, this is how I feel about it. So I agree, the Toni Storm, Io Shirai match, too short, should have went longer. That was the match that I was most looking forward to on the pay-per-view, and... you know, Tegan Nox was supposed to win this whole thing, but that doesn't account for it. These ladies could go longer than that. They could add a better match, even though they had a really good match. Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, like you said, sets up the Four Horsewomen. At first, I was a little mad about the interference, but that was just me getting worked, and I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be mad as a fan, and I think it was the right move for them. Going forward, it inserts a cool storyline.
Yeah, they were getting heat.
Yeah. Becky and Charlotte, best women's match on the main roster that I can remember. I didn't even mind the moonsault botch because she, like, fixed it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And she didn't fix it by doing the exact same move. She fixed it by doing a different move.
She went swanton instead of moonsault.
Yes. And she made sure that she got it, which, if you're going kayfabe style.
Kayfabe style.
She's trying to make sure that she's putting this bitch through the table, right?
Yes.
That's what her kayfabe mind would have said. Like, I'm trying to put her through the table.
Absolutely. So, and she's like, I'm going to break this motherfucking table.
Right.
And then Ronda Rousey Nikki Bella was what it was. It was better than I expected.
Yeah.
The reason I say it's the best is because it was set up like a takeover. It was tighter. It was less than 3 hours. There wasn't any kind of fatigue. I was like into it the whole time.
It was longer than 3 hours.
Yeah, it was going on. It was 3.5, dude. It started at 6. It ended at like a little after 9:30.
I watched it today. It was 3 hours and 23 minutes.
Okay.
Hey, well, it didn't. It wasn't bloated.
Not trying to nitpick. No, it wasn't bloated.
So, I agree. Oh, God. But, are these guys serious?
There was some matches that were obviously like, you know, tribute matches that we had older folks in there.
Nia Jax winning the Battle Royal. That's okay with you.
I don't love that, but I'm like, I'm not going to like just shit all over it because she won.
I mean, that's totally fine that Nia Jax won the Battle Royal.
I'd have preferred
Ember
Moon.
Have we not seen this before?
It's for a future title shot.
Have we not seen this before?
But like, I'm not like Nick. Remember, I'm the guy that likes everything. Just calm down. Like, I'm not nitpicking. It was a fun show. Just Try to have some fucking fun.
What did I say? What did I say? Did I shit on it? No, I said it was good. It was not great. Okay? That's what I said. So let's not sit up here. If you want to go bout for bout, I'll give you the top three of Evolution, and I'll take the top three of the Royal Rumble. Please, don't even start.
I don't even remember Royal
Rumble. Oh, come on, man. Please. God damn.
Murray, what you think about Evolution?
I had no hope that it was going to be any good at all leading up to it. Mm-hmm. So my expectations were definitely higher, or you know, I ended up
probably because the build was terrible.
The build was awful. I didn't really care for a couple of the matches that were there. Once I watched it, I didn't care for, like, you know, the Lita Trish thing was cool for people who cared.
Sure,
I didn't. But the matches that were solid were actually way better than I expected, and it turned out to be a more pleasant pay per view than I expected. So I had fun watching it.
I think that the tag match was good. I mean, like Murray said, that was kind of a nostalgia match, but it was better than most nostalgia matches are. It'll probably be better than the DX versus Brothers Destruction match that's getting ready to come up tomorrow morning, I guess.
By the way, Lita had the biggest thong she's ever had in her career.
There were a couple of really good matches. The Mae Young match was really good. I'm sorry, I can't say that woman's name. Io Shirai. That match was really good. Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane was way better than it had any business being, and it gave me a lot.
I don't want to go there. I was about to say, they've had good NXT matches. So
Kairi Sane is great. Shayna Baszler's great. I have a little bit of trepidation thinking about Shayna Baszler moving into a main roster role.
None whatsoever on my opinion. I think she slides right on in.
But I think that she kind of moves into the same area that Ronda Rousey moves, and there's might only be room for one of them. Especially if they're going to be keeping around Trish and Lita until WrestleMania, which is the rumor. I mean, they don't give enough attention to the women's roster. They didn't give enough attention to it moving into this, and so I worry about how much attention they'll give to it moving into WrestleMania season. But that's neither here nor there. The Becky Lynch-Charlotte match was... I didn't watch it in live time, and I saw everybody talking about how good it was. I just watched it less than 2 hours ago. It was as good as advertised, if not better. I wondered if I didn't think they were piping in the crowd. I thought that maybe they mic'd the crowd a little bit different.
The crowd was hot. But it was like an NXT crowd.
The crowd was hot. And whenever the crowd was in the background, you saw the crowd reacting to it. It was great. I was a little surprised when when Becky was being Charlotte with a chair and the crowd was chanting, "You deserve it," to Charlotte. I was like, man, like, no matter what they're doing with Becky, the crowd is going to be behind Becky.
She's owning it.
Yeah, and it's finally her time to run with the ball. And that to me, is the biggest takeaway from Evolution for me, is that Becky Lynch has finally ascended to a level that I didn't think she would ever be at a year ago. If you'd have told me this, I'd have looked at you crazy. No way.
Real quick, before we move, I got to read down this Royal Rumble card real quick for you.
Yeah, go ahead, motherfucker. You going to talk shit?
Go ahead, please.
Outside of the Royal Rumbles, the main event was Brock Lesnar versus Kane and Braun Strowman.
Okay, so go
Cesaro
ahead.
Cesaro and Sheamus versus Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. Shinsuke won the Battle Royal. Usos defeating Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Love Chad Gable. Nobody gave a fuck about that.
Oh, God.
AJ and Kevin Owens. We've talked about that ad nauseum. Handicap match with Sami Zayn. I didn't even remember it. Bobby Roode beat Mojo Rawley. That one was a real winner. But the Revival did beat the Good Brothers. And I'll take everything back I said about Evolution, because that right there does it for me. And then there was a pre-show 205 Live match. So I just got to throw it out there.
I think, I'm just going to let that lie there for a second. Let's just all sit here for 60 seconds and just dwell on that.
I ain't dwelling on shit.
All right. But he, you were talking about the Royal Rumble, like it was so great. Like this, and I'll also say about you can't just think about the matches when you're talking about how great a pay-per-view is, because I watched this pay-per-view front to back today. It's about the pay-per-view is built upon itself. So, like, you got to come out hot, right? And then you kind of got to have these matches, and you have a battle royal. And the only thing that I would have changed about this pay-per-view, I would have had a buffer match in between Becky Lynch and Charlotte and then the main event, or I would put Becky and Charlotte on as the main event.
That's the only thing I would change.
But to Zach's point, the pay-per-view from point A to point B worked out a little bit nicer than the
You would think Royal that Rumble. It was going to suck, though, because they didn't tell us anything. The Royal Rumble is supposed to be dope.
I really did not expect us to come in here talking about the Royal Rumble from January 2018.
Well, yeah, because someone around here is saying that Evolution was the best pay-per-view of the season. If that's the case, then that's an indictment on creative in general.
I agree with that.
That is an indictment on creative in general. Right. That's what he's saying.
Okay, but
it wasn't better than any NXT pay-per-view that's ever happened in the last...
No, he said main roster.
24
months, roster.
He said main roster.
Then that, to me, isn't a problem into itself, but... I digress. Go ahead.
The other thing I thought that the Ronda Rousey, obviously Charlotte versus Becky was fire. It was great. It goes to show, and this is what I was thinking, that a big criticism on women's wrestling is that they're not as fast, they're not as big, as they're not as strong as the men wrestlers. All true. But those things don't necessarily need to be true to tell a good story in the middle of the ring or tell a good wrestling match. When Becky and Charlotte got 25 minutes, man, they told a fucking great story. It was an unbelievable match. It was great. A plus stuff. I thought that Rhonda and Nikki, after reading about how they could never follow up Charlotte and Becky, I thought Ron and Nikki told their own story of a match, and it was also good.
It was surprisingly, even though Ronda's still pretty green and Nikki Bella's Nikki Bella, I was paying attention to it.
But Ronda relied on those judo chops, or those judo takedowns,
yeah,
which worked for her, and she also talked a bunch of shit to Nikki, which really worked. And
Murray said on Twitter, he's like, Rhonda says, "Are you ready for me to break your arm?" And Nikki was just like, "Yes," like nodding her head.
Yeah, I don't know if that was supposed to be.
When Rhonda grabbed Nikki's chin and was like doing her like a puppet,
yeah,
that was really good. Yeah. That was really funny stuff.
Look, I'm not, everybody knows, at least if they're listening, that I'm not a fan of the Bellas. That match wasn't as bad as I was anticipating.
I agree.
I thought it was pretty good.
It wasn't great, but it was definitely... I would have rather seen someone else in that scenario with Ronda, but they wasn't, and they didn't ruin it. So
Becky Charlotte should have ended the show, though.
Easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily. It shouldn't have been a question.
And we'll get to our two counts. Subir, what you got?
So PWI released their PWI Women's Top 100. It's up from the top 50.
So when does the men's come out? Just curious. If they released this earlier?
I feel like it does. I feel like last year we were talking about it around Rumble time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that let's try this again. It has not come out yet. It will come out. It will be the 500, obviously, but I wouldn't look for it until another month or so, give or take.
I feel like it was winter.
I would like to know when they started doing the women's top 100.
It was top 50 until this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, apparently Natalya is the only one of the two women that have been on every PWI women's top 50 since the start. So, it goes back, but go ahead.
So what you got,
Tudor? Just to run down the top 10. So going from number 10, we've got Kairi Sane. Number 9, who I'm unfamiliar with, Mayu Iwatani. She's obviously in NOAH or All Japan or something like that.
We should also point out that the PWI takes into account everything. Kayfabe style.
Title reigns. Win percentage.
And in-ring performance. And how well they can go. So it's pretty much everything.
Yeah, which is cool because, it blends everything into the sport. Like, some people might not agree with it because we have our biases, but, they try to make it, for everything, kayfabe included.
Right.
Number 8, we got Nia Jax. Number 7, Carmella. Number 6, Shayna Baszler. Number 5, Asuka. Number 4, Io Shirai. Number 3, Charlotte Flair. Number 2, Alexa Bliss. And number 1, Ronda Rousey.
All right. The thing that jumps out to me.
Shit. There's a couple of things jump out to me.
Well, it's a shame that Asuka's not higher. Asuka being 5. She, I mean,
she's 5.
Huh?
She's lucky that she's five.
Well, I mean, it takes into account everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, because she hasn't been shipped the last year.
She did win the Royal Rumble, and she did win the first Women's Royal Rumble. So that's got to count.
That's probably the only reason she's five.
Right. That's got to count.
And her WrestleMania match with Charlotte. After that.
Those are two pretty big things.
Oh, absolutely.
Though.
But yeah, it sucks.
Those are the two reasons she's number five. What jumps out at you, JCB?
Carmella, easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. Between her and Nia Jax, I don't know which one I'm more outraged with. I mean, Carmella was basically a flash in the pan. How she's in the top 10, it blows my mind. Nia Jax, at least, I could kind of make an argument for it. One or the other has to go. I mean, Becky Lynch is at 11, so before we have this big outrage, where's Becky Lynch? Becky Lynch is at 11. I can kind of understand that.
Because it only goes to the end of July.
I think it goes further back than
it
that.
It might be September, yeah, August I was or September.
Say, all right, somebody correct me on Friends of BFR or BFR Twitter stuff.
Her being Becky Lynch, when she won the title, was within this year stretch that they grade on.
Okay,
so she was the champion. I think it was October 15th she won the championship. She just recently,
just
recently brought it out.
Really, when you see where Becky Lynch is right now, it's surprising to see where she's at, considering where she was one calendar year ago.
Yep.
Because she was in the doldrums.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
She wasn't doing shit.
I can understand why she's at 11. Toni Storm, I'm sorry, most people might not know who Toni Storm is. Before Mae Young, I watched Toni Storm from Progress. I got a huge problem.
Where do you think she's at?
19.
It is 19.
Huge problem with that. Because she basically ran roughshod over the Progress Women's Division for a calendar year. So if that's not kayfabe style in its greatest form, I don't know what the fuck
NXT
is.
NXT UK Women's Champion. Granted, she just won it this week.
Spoiler alert, dude. Damn.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Luckily, I wasn't paying attention.
Bleep it out.
It's a second Toni Storm spoiler.
Murray, any thoughts on it?
The Carmella thing, I agree. I don't understand at all why. I mean, yeah, she won the championship and whatnot, but
I will say that Carmella went from my least favorite part of TV because I didn't think she deserved the championship, even though she was an annoying heel. I fucking love her now. Her and Ron Killings.
Yeah.
It's entertaining as fuck. Like, she face turned without a face turn, and it's fun stuff.
You can't stress it enough, though, that it's not taking into account who's the best in the ring. It's not taking into account who's the best promo. It's taking into account who gets pushed the most.
Right.
I mean, Roman Reigns has been in the top 10 for the last 3 or 4 years because they headlined WrestleMania. Now, nobody outside of people who can't grow facial hair would say that Roman Reigns is one of the best 10 wrestlers in the world. But he does have the most influence. He is part of the biggest storylines. He does have the most eyes on him.
All roads lead to Roman.
All roads lead to Roman. So, I mean, Carmella's there because she held the belt for a long time.
Well, and she wasn't, I mean, she may not have been the best wrestler, but I'm like what Zach was saying, that she's, you know, annoying and everything like that. She was meant to be. So she played that well. She did nothing but piss us all off, which was, I think, the point was.
Tell you what, I have Enzo, Cass, and Carmella. She's the only one left standing.
Goddamn shame.
That is no joke.
And okay, and I'll say this about
That's
Carmella.
It's still so funny to me.
I know.
It is fucked up. She did beat Charlotte Flair. She did beat Asuka. So if you're going to take it as kayfabe style, okay, I'll give you that. Nia Jax doesn't have a win on her record.
More
credible than those two.
You're right.
So
about
we
got
to kick one out. That Nia Jax.
What
has
was Nia Jax?
She beat Alexa, which is not a thing.
Did she win the belt?
Yeah,
she had it for
she won it at WrestleMania.
3-4 weeks.
Yeah, not
oh,
even.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Did I talk about it into this microphone on this podcast?
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
That'll bring us to our 3 count. So the 3 count is the debacle that is Crown Jewel.
Oh, I can't
the pay-per-view that's happening tomorrow morning that WWE refuses to say what country it's taking place in.
Spoiler alert. It's in Saudi Arabia.
To add insult to injury, they have decided to make Hulk Hogan. Is he the host? Did he get taken off of it?
No, I don't think
he's the host.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they took. Yeah, let's try this again. They took him off the website. top right Murray, or lower right hand side, I'm sorry. They took him off the website as saying he's the host, but I don't think he's taken off of the show. At some point, you will see Hulk Hogan make his triumphant appearance.
So WWE had a release this week basically saying, hey, we know there's tons of stuff going on around here, but we're going to do it anyway because we are honoring the contract that we signed with
like
these people.
Like other companies, they said.
Like other companies.
Trying to get that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just trying to make that money. The Crown Jewel, the most interesting thing about it that happened this week was they surreptitiously took John Cena off of the card by inserting Bobby Lashley using Baron Corbin to do so.
Yeah, because that's a hot ticket.
And they also said that Daniel Bryan, it also got leaked out that Daniel Bryan wasn't going to do it, go to Saudi Arabia. So the question was, when they go into SmackDown, how are they going to take Daniel Bryan off of this card? And the answer was to have him have the in kayfabe. Shane McMahon came out and said, you know, a lot of these guys say, let's do it right now. I'll tell you what, let's do it right now. So they had the Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles match on SmackDown to lead off SmackDown. It was a 23-minute match. It was a good match. Above average match. No doubt. No doubt about it.
That's good.
It was awesome. It takes a little bit of the piss out of it when you know who's going to win as a total smark, dirt sheet reading asshole like I am. But I knew that AJ Styles was going to win. I didn't think that it didn't seem to me like WWE was mad at Daniel Bryan because even though he lost, it was a 23-minute match. I think he did tap out to the count.
He tapped out clean.
He tapped out clean.
And
that's not sure.
They beat him up afterwards.
Right.
Samoa Joe beat him up to set up the next match.
But,
though,
I mean, that doesn't show you that he's back in a contendership later.
I'll tell you what. It also doesn't mean that he won't be up for another title shot come around Royal Rumble, WrestleMania time.
When's the last time a babyface tapped out clean in a title match on, like, Monday or Tuesday, though?
To another babyface? I don't know.
I'm just saying, it just doesn't happen.
It was a 23-minute match.
Oh, yeah, and which I feel like they did that because they had to give the fans something, you know.
So he tapped out clean. Did you think that he was going to win at...
No, not at all, but I mean, like, there's other ways to do it. I didn't think he was going to win at Crown Jewel either.
It didn't seem to me like it was a punishment at all. Actually, I think that if he would have gotten pinned on a phenomenal forearm, I think that would have been more of an indictment on Daniel Bryan than tapping out to a calf crusher. Thoughts?
Am I wrong there?
Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong by any stretch. I see where you're going with it. I did not think that.
I mean, AJ's been champ for
damn near a year.
Yeah. Which is what we always wanted. We always wanted long title reigns, and now we're having long title reigns.
No, and the only problem with that, and it's well chronicled, it's just the way AJ's matches have ended. The booking is not what I personally would want to go with. Are you crazy? No. I see why you're saying this. I agree with your premise. I guess where my biggest problem with this is... With Joe and AJ, we did this before. So, I mean, basically, you gave us Daniel Bryan and AJ for free on SmackDown. Great match. Cool. You know, this is what was supposed to happen at Crown Jewel. So now you have to give us a replacement match. So here comes my problem with WWE in general across the board. It's too top heavy. You don't have a roster. So here comes Samoa Joe, who's lost, what, 3 in a row now to AJ? I mean, you can't even bring Samoa Joe out at this point.
He tapped last time, too.
And make it credible. Okay, yeah, you got him from behind again, but what's probably going to happen is the same thing that was supposed to happen to Daniel Bryan. They're going to fly out to Saudi. He's going to tap out or basically lose, however you want to call it. And now you've done more harm to Joe versus doing good to Daniel Bryan or good for AJ. This is where you need a deeper roster. The Miz is sitting over here. I mean, just... Please, sir, may I have another title run, sir?
Bryan actually, according to reports, asked to lose to Miz and Australia asked to lose.
Because, well, unless we have it all backwards, which that we probably don't, and at at Crown Jewel,
God, it's Saudi Arabia.
Daniel Bryan might have won the match, took the title, and gone that route, which means they may put the title on Joe, being part of Daniel Bryan's punishment.
Right, the same way that they did when Edge got hurt, they eventually just inserted Randy Orton into right. Edge and Christian's storyline.
Yep.
So
which was awesome, actually.
It did turn out to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's the same way that they're going to insert a Chris Benoit hologram into the main event just to wrap all the bad shit about WWE in the last 10 years.
Well, you know, Muhammad bin Salam is a huge Chris Benoit fan.
Are you serious right now?
No, I'm making this up. he likes all the old shit, though. Like, he obviously likes it. The only reason Hulk Hogan's going there, the only reason that Kurt Angle's going to be there, the only reason that Shawn Michaels is going to be there, the only reason Rey Mysterio's going to be there is because Muhammad bin Salam, this 32-year-old guy.
He watched wrestling when he was a kid.
He watched wrestling when he was a kid, and he's got all the oil of the world underneath his feet, and he's like, I'll tell you what, let me pay for this motherfucker. Like, Hulk Hogan doesn't have enough Gawker.com money underneath his feet that he can't live off of it for the rest of his life.
Yeah, like, if I had the Mega Million, like, imagine who we would have in here. I mean, Jesus Christ.
So
poor Sam would just lose his mind.
JoJo?
Like, God damn it.
It'd just be JoJo every week.
Yeah.
So I'm not going
to... Just to watch JCB's face.
I'm not going to lie to everybody out there. I'm going to be working tomorrow, and I usually have the iPad in front of me when I'm working, and I will watch Crown Jewel, even though I hate that WWE is going into business for Saudi Arabia, but I'm not going to lie to you, because it is interesting to me how they're going to book it and what it's going to look like, and if they do the same bullshit Saudi Arabia ads like they did last time. So I'm not going to lie to you. I am going to watch it.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you're like Anderson Cooper. You're not for war, but you got to report it.
Thank you. I'm a conscientious objector.
It's a worldwide event.
No, I got to watch. It's just going to be impossible for me.
I'm
going to
need one
of
y'all's passwords.
I do. Yeah, I know you. Poor Zach. Yeah, poor Zach. Cancel his shit.
Canceled out of moral obligation.
You know what? I thought about that this morning. I was like, man, I'm going to make fun of Zach on the podcast. Because I was like, how long? What's the over under on you asking me for my password? You can have it, man. I'll give it to you, man.
No, I'm good until the 19th.
Yeah, I was going to say, you stuck to the 19th. Boy, it ain't letting you go that easy.
My screen name is Bill Vague, and my password is Charlie Sheen 69. Sorry, I fucked that up. There are a couple interesting...
It's a password for everything, Will.
There are a couple interesting matches on here. Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley. Kurt Angle versus Dolph Ziggler. I think... I put it on Twitter. Kurt Angle in 2001 versus Dolph Ziggler in 2018 would be... A barn burner, man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if you could even take it back to when they were both wrestling back like 10 years ago, and it would be a barn burner. Yeah. Like Kurt Angle 2008 and Dolph Ziggler 2008, they're both collegiate wrestlers. They were both great collegiate wrestlers. Dolph Ziggler holds the most record or the most wins at Kent State, which is a wrestling school.
I didn't know that.
Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley could be a lot of fun.
Dean Ambrose.
I would expect, I'm not sure what I expect, just two words, don't give me any explanation, who's going to win the World Cup?
Rey Mysterio.
That's where I'm at.
Rey Mysterio.
That was my guess, too, so fuck you guys. I'm going to say Bobby Lashley, I guess.
And that's why it was last in predictions, folks.
just luckily, these don't count. Yeah, right. All I'm going to say, if they're going to have Hulk Hogan there, they got to put over a black guy.
Yeah, they'll have Hogan raising Lashley's hands.
Right, I know.
I'm with you, brother.
Both wearing the thing that Muhammad bin Salam wears.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that's enough. That's going to do it for our three count. F&B.
Hulk Hogan ain't raising anyone's hand, especially somebody that's looking like me. F&B Eatery, ladies and gentlemen, on 3453 Southampton, on the corner of Southampton and Marquette. I will be there tomorrow afternoon at some point. No, actually, take that back. I won't be there tomorrow because I'll be doing my moral obligation to watch the Crown Jewel pay-per-view event. But then that will lead me into Saturday, which sounds about right. Yeah, I got to work at 3, so we'll just slide on in about 1:30, pick up my burger on the way to work, hang up some french fries, the whole shebang. While I'm thinking about it, the hours are different because I think that's one of the big things to know about F&B Eatery is that the hours are a little different than what you will normally be accustomed to. On Wednesday through Saturday, they are open from, I believe it is from 8 to 2, and then they reopen from 5 to 9, and then on Sunday it is just breakfast only. Steak and eggs, by the way. I would go check them out on Facebook at F&B Eatery, and 9 times out of 10, they will tell you a special of some sort ahead of time, usually 24 hours, more times than not. It's steak and eggs on Sunday. That might be something to think about if you are up and about trying to, I guess, soak away the alcohol from the night before if you're myself, but that's another story for another time. 8 to 2:30 on Sunday. Anyway, F&B Eatery, 3453 Southampton. Check me out on, I guess, Saturday afternoon, hopefully. I'll probably need something to eat because I'll probably be seeing this guy Friday night at some point before after Crown Jewel and before New Japan. But another story for another time. F&B Eatery, 3453 Southampton.
All right, so some odds and ends. We do have a Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman match at Crown Jewel also. One person, the Universal Championship is vacant right now. Who's walking out with it?
Depends on how much money Vince wants to throw at Lesnar.
I don't think Lesnar's going to take it.
I can't imagine Lesnar taking it. I agree with Murray, just because it's going to have to be a regular time guy.
I think he was just kind of thrown into the mix based on everything that's going on.
There are rumors that Drew McIntyre might be put into this match to make it a triple threat.
That'd be cool.
That's why I wish somebody other than Braun Strowman would have won Money in the Bank, because they're almost not doing a damn thing with Money in the Bank right now. And if there was someone else like Drew who had that, they would be able to use that and drama, add to the drama.
Yeah, we've got like 6 more months.
Well, the reason why it never should have been Braun Strowman is because he didn't need it.
No, that's the whole thing. They could do anything they want with him.
Same thing with Lesnar.
I wouldn't mind. Sorry, guys. Oh, my God. I wouldn't mind if they would have put Finn Balor into this somehow. To have a little guy popping around the big guys, you know?
No, but see, but that's us being smarks. That's us being,
guilty as charged.
A lot of people don't want to see that because a lot of people don't think that's realistic. That's why I think the biggest thing that we had with Finn Balor going against Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. A lot of people did not think that would be credible because in real life, AJ wouldn't have a chance in the world against Brock Lesnar. And I understand that. I don't want to go that route because I think a lot of the talent is not 6'4", 260. They're my size, 5'9", 180. Regular motherfuckers that can do
180.
I put on some weight, man. Back up. The regular guys that can do irregular things. Finn would be a great move, but Finn is just in that quagmire.
Would you be cool with Drew in there?
I would love Drew in there. I wouldn't. Unfortunately, in this case, he would have to eat the pin.
I wish there would have been some sort of reason for him. Well, yeah, Elias. Elias would be great.
Elias would be awesome. There
would have been some storyline reason to put somebody in there, though.
That's basically what I was getting at with Elias. Anybody would be great to make that a triple threat, so it's not just those two monsters.
Bill was right so long ago. Like, strap a fucking rocket ship on that guy, because he's a great heel. He's a great face. He made me fucking belly laugh. So good. Dana Brooke was like, "Will you play a song for me?" And he's like, "For you?
No.
Nobody."
That was very rock-like.
It was.
So, one word out of each of you. I'll go first. Who walks out with the belt? I'll say Braun.
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 Okay. following up the hottest angle that they've had in the calendar year, WWE decided to put Seth and Dean on 2 hours into the show instead of opening up the show with it. I question that. I know that Vince thinks that Brock is the biggest star that they have. That makes me think that people would wait around 2 hours to see Brock Lesnar, but they waited 2 hours to have Seth and Dean on. Seth came out, did his promo. Dean was out in the crowd and did not cut a promo, which I don't mind. I don't mind. I know they're trying to tell a long form story, so make the audience wait for another week to see what Dean's explanation is for his turn on Seth. Thoughts on that, Two Beer?
I say they just turn him into Sting and just have him in the rafters for a fucking year.
All right, thoughts on that, JZB? I'm skipping past him.
I mean, you was on that grind.
That
huh?
was the best build in my entire lifetime for the worst payoff. But still, dude, it was the best build of my entire life.
Dude, that's what we should do for Sunday, which reminds me, let's throw off social media real quick while I'm thinking about it. Facebook, we are Banned from Ringside Podcast on Facebook, Friends with VFR on Facebook.
On Twitter, we're at BFR Bill, at BFR Bill, at BFR Bill, at BFR Murr.
Right. On Instagram, we're on BFR Pod, and on Twitter, also BFR
at
Pod.
At BFR Bill.
Sorry.
Listen, guys, I need the followers. I only have 83 followers. I'm done. I am done.
Over under on how long it takes Bill to break 100.
Oh, I could get
before the end of the year.
You think I can get 1,000 before he gets 100?
Yeah. Oh,
how many do you have right now?
800.
800 some.
Okay, we'll make it easy. That? We'll make it easy. Who gets to the next big number first? Two Beer or Bill? Does Bill get to 100 first? Or does Zach get to 1,000 first? And Zach's like, what, 200 off?
Yeah.
And you're 17 off?
17 off. Maybe 14, something like that. I need more right followers. I put out the best stuff.
This dude right here wins. I guarantee you. And, okay.
The other night, I sent a picture to my friend, who's a Photoshop expert, of Brock Lesnar and Barack Obama. And I had him put Barack Obama's face on Brock Lesnar's body. And I said, Barack Obama or Barack Lesnar. And I got 40 likes, something like that. None of those motherfuckers followed me. Nobody follows.
You gotta follow them first, man.
No, yes. I refuse to do that.
Look,
okay. Just quick sidebar.
I'm not gonna be one of these losers that has more following than followers.
How did you court Aaron? Aaron didn't come to you. You had to go to her. You had to say, "Hey, I'm Bill. It's nice to meet you."
Actually, she walked into my bar and I asked her for her number. So actually, she did come to me? Actually.
Oh man, that's happenstance, motherfucker. Don't give yourself that much credit.
Some of us would call that serendipity. Mm. That's romance.
This is Banned from Ringside.
are we really calling the Lucha guys a Lucha House Party? And are we having them squash the Revival? That's what we're doing now?
Yes, and yes. The Lucha House Party has been 205 since Glency Dorado.
Hold on. We didn't finish the Dean Seth argument. We got caught up on.
I personally don't have a problem with Dean not saying a damn word.
I don't have a problem with it either.
My problem is where's the titles now.
Okay, there lies the okay, and we could spin that off into Lucha House Party and Revival. That's the bigger question to me. Are we not even going to mention the fact that the tag team titles are the champions? Are these two guys that are officially feuding?
Seth mentioned it.
Well, he mentioned that he was excited to be a four-time tag team champion, but does not walk out to the ring with the championship. So, and don't even really mention it outside of that. So what are they doing with it then?
You cannot strip. There is so much storytelling. There's so much juice there to tell from a storytelling angle that those guys hate each other and that they hold the belts together.
But they need to hold them then. Well, they need to show.
Yeah, they need to. They need to remind us. I agree with that totally.
Totally,
GM needs to make them defend them.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay, now if you want to do that, that's a storyline I can get into. So that way you could extend it longer. And you could get into the calendar year.
I might have said this last week, but like I think this would be a perfect situation for a Finger Poke of Doom Part 2. Like
I think you mentioned that last week too.
have Dean go down for somebody. I mean, that would get mega heat, ultra heat, if he like went down to Dolph and Drew or somebody else and passed that heat on to somebody else. Like, this is a way. This is a way to get somebody else over.
It's free right. real estate.
You know why it won't
exactly,
work?
Man? Because it makes too much sense.
Bam.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Some other things. AOP came out and they destroyed Gable and Rude and the Ascension.
Hang on. I've been waiting to tell this story for like 3 weeks and I totally keep forgetting about it. Shout out to Kayfabe, Kenny. Shout out to Titterball. I was at their apartment like 3 weeks ago and AOP comes out and Kayfabe was like, who are these guys? And I mean, he literally was like dead fucking serious. He did not know who Authors of Pain was at all.
He's been sober for a little couple months.
Though. Even dead ass sober. You should still know who AOP is at this point, yeah. Okay? They have been on the roster long enough.
I'm not going to be mad at anybody for not knowing who anybody is. People can take breaks from stuff.
He hasn't taken a break from it. He's been watching it.
They look like 3 minute warning. If you take away all their cachet and they're not out there beating people up every single week, then they look like 3 minute warning.
Stop.
Oh, man, 3 minute warning was so good, though.
Are you serious right now?
I loved it.
Rosie and the
and Jamal.
And Jamal.
I loved it just because Bischoff, like I liked that Bischoff era of WWE. I really liked
that Bischoff era too. I'm with Murray. I'm with Murray 100%.
So let me get this straight. You guys like WCW at this point?
No, that wasn't WCW.
No, I'm just saying that because obviously Bischoff ran WCW.
When Bischoff used to tell guys, he goes, I'll give you some time to get out of the ring. You got 3 minutes.
The Billy and Chuck wedding. That was one of the best things I'd ever seen at the time. He rips off the old man mask and is, you know, I forget how he lines
with
it up.
With this dude, like, 100%.
3 minutes.
Two beer. Awesome. Don't leave me out on this island by myself.
I have a 3 second warning and it's called I'm going to come.
Pants down, 3 seconds later.
Okay, so...
I wasn't watching during 3 minute warning. I can't say that.
Call me Dion over here. I got this island all alone. All right. I'm sorry, I can't do that.
You guys
horrible.
Cool with Bobby Lashley and Lil Rush? It seems to be going pretty well.
I said it 3 weeks ago when they first started doing this. This is the way you're going to get Bobby Lashley over. Lil Rush did the one thing that Vince should have did when he first came back. Mm-hmm. I'm this dude. I'm that dude. I've done this. I'm done that. I'm legit. This is why I deserve to be facing Brock Lesnar before any of these jokers on the roster. They didn't do it. They just brought him back in because, oh, it's Bobby Lashley and everybody knows who Bobby Lashley is. That's great. Finally, we've established him with some credibility with one of the most obnoxious motherfuckers on the goddamn roster. Watch, this shit's gonna work. It's gonna work.
I think so.
I'll take it this far. He beat Seth Rollins.
Ooh.
He'll beat Seth Rollins.
That's a hot take.
No, I believe that too. I mean, I could also see Angle winning that thing just because it's been the only guy that's ever been talking about the entire time.
He
is
said
Angle.
It's the most important thing in his entire life.
Then who are you going to fire from Raw or for SmackDown?
He ain't firing nobody.
The person, he fires is going to be the guy that he wrestles at WrestleMania.
You know what's so strange about wrestling is that you wait forever for Shane to come back. Shane's going to come back.
No.
And then Shane comes back, and it's the biggest pop in the history of SmackDown. Everybody goes crazy, or in the history of Raw. Shane comes back. Everybody goes crazy. And then 2 years later, you're like, why won't Shane go the fuck away? Just stay away, Shane. Like, that's what wrestling is. You're always waiting for the next guy to come back.
Because he's not the Shane of the old.
No, him and AJ had a monster match at WrestleMania. Arguably the best match of WrestleMania.
That was the best match that year.
That was a year and 9 months ago.
Okay, I get with point taken. I'm not the guy that's trying to rush Shane out of the building. Okay,
I'm not trying to rush him out of the building. He just needs a little bit of tweaking. Like, why is he always the same guy?
Because that's human nature. People usually stay who they are. They'll tweak a little bit here and there.
Human nature is wrestling nature.
They need to give him a little bit of his like angsty Shane again. Like back when he was younger and he was like he was kind of a villain. You know, he had
He's grown now. He's got his wife and kids.
There's always too much dependence on the heel authority figure in WWE.
I'm not.
It doesn't exist
that.
Anywhere else. Yeah. In wrestling.
No, I won't say that. Lucha Underground is a great example of a heel promoter Antonio Cueto basically runs the fucking, you know, Lucha Underground, and he is heel of heels. He's Vince McMahon-ish.
And they love him.
Point taken. Doesn't exist in NJPW. Doesn't exist.
But they treat it more like a sport. Like, this is professional wrestling.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, yes. Go ahead.
I think that's why I've been saying the whole time.
I was about to say, toot your own horn, motherfucker. Somebody follow him for him saying that professional wrestling is best presented as a sport. That is Bill Vagy, BFR Bill, on your Twitter.
A.K.A. the name. Great White Smirk.
We get about 300, 400 downloads a week. Over under on follows that I get to BFR Bill after this, I'll put it at 0.5.
Over. It's just one person.
No, it doesn't. I haven't had a new follower.
Come on, guys.
I haven't had a new follower in literally 2 months.
Come on, guys.
It's probably me that followed him.
Right, you're saying. Come on, guys. One more time. Hey, everybody. Before we're done with this week, we got some birthdays to get to. We got Bobby the Brain Heenan, RIP. Would have been 74. Tyler Rex, who I always liked. I liked him better as the lead singer of Korn, but I liked him a lot as a wrestler also. He was 40. Charmel. Jason? Jason? Charmel's 46. Darren Young, that courageous young man who first openly gay wrestler of all time, would be 30. He is 35. Samir Singh is 31. Cameron is 31. Don't know where she is now. You can probably see her over at Diamond Cabaret. Andrade Cien Almas is 29.
That's
and King Kong Bundy is 61. Hey, everybody, we know there's tons of podcasts to listen to, so we appreciate the hell out of you listening to our podcast. For Soul Taco, for check. JJ Twigs, for check. F&B Eatery, check. For Soul Taco.
Said it, check.
For Shock F&B City. Eatery.
Said it, check.
For JJ Twigs.
Check.
For Soul Taco.
Check. Shock
for
City.
Sam the Muller Mall, for Shock City Studios.
Check, check.
For Murray the Murray Man Murray.
Check.
For Zach Bowman. For check. JCB. I am Bill Baggy. And everybody, boo the heels.
Happy BFR Bar, Bill.
He isn't even drinking.